Well, hello, and welcome to the Sunday Sermon Podcast. This could be, turn out to be, the first in a series of podcasts I hope to make. I've been podcasting for well over 2 years, and I have one that may or may not coexist with this podcast, but I think it's time to focus my efforts a little more. I do very much enjoy a component of the other podcast was often a Sunday sermon section, and I thought I would go ahead and create a new podcast, much shorter, from my usual place, which I call my Sunday Sermon Mound. It's a hilltop outside the Scarborough Civic Center, overlooking a lovely park. It's a winter's day, February the 17th, my mother's birthday, as a matter of fact, my long-deceased mother. And there's a nice rainfall. I can hear it on the roof of the car. I don't know if you can. I'm sitting in my PT Cruiser, which is my pulpit. And timing was just right. I finished a podcast last night, put it up today, and had some time left over and a feeling that I wanted to do more. So my goal with this podcast is to focus on a theme, keep it much shorter, no more than half an hour, hopefully around 20 minutes, perhaps include one song, and maybe do it all in one segment, two at most. That's the idea. Now, sometimes people start new projects and they wither on the vine. They don't last very long, and I have no idea what will happen with this one, but let's get started. My name is Ken. I won't yet call myself the Reverend Ken. I do have a sense of humor. I do rather like that title, but let's say that I do have an ancestor who was a clergyman. After finishing his time with the Royal Navy, his brother drowned at sea, and he was called back home and became a clergyman, which is the other thing open to that class of Englishmen in his day, back in Victorian England. And then eventually opened up a school for boys. So I do feel a link to him, a connection, in ways which perhaps I'll explain at another podcast. Today I'd like to start off with, get right into it, so that you have a feel for what this might be about and whether or not it's for you. I listened to the news today and heard a story of another blast, a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. I believe this one was in Kabul. I thought I would include the clip for you, and I recorded the 3 o'clock news, and already it had been bumped off the news. It was no longer news story, newsworthy. Other things had come up. Kosovo's independence and the missing boy in Vancouver Island, and other things that some people celebrate, some people find a tragedy on a personal level, on a political, historic level. A lot of variety. But the story about the yet one more suicide bomber in Afghanistan was just bumped off. It's already, it's gone, it's past, it's finished. I heard it when I woke up this morning to the radio, tuned to CBC, and it stuck with me for, in a curious way. Whenever I hear about a suicide bombing, I'm always troubled, obviously, upset, and I do get pictures, not graphic images, but I imagine the women and children. I'm not thinking about the men so much or the soldiers. I am because they are, you know, the policemen, the police recruits when somebody stands beside them in line and blows himself up. And we know how horrific and how gory. They don't bother to show these things on TV, but we can imagine what it's like. And I feel more those the ones who die instantly, perhaps their heads blown off, their body ripped to shreds from the impact and the shrapnel. I think I'm even more bothered by the survivors, by the walking wounded, the ones who, you know, will have lost a foot, an arm, an eye, horribly disfigured, terribly painfully maimed. And you know that they just don't have the facilities over there to treat these people very well. They'll get whatever they can do. Some will die en route to hospital. It's horrific. I don't think I need to go much further with that. We know how awful. We know it's. We are so fortunate. It's not happening in our home country. Here in Scarborough, we hear about robberies, knifings, and the odd shooting, and it's just not happening on a grand scale. And we feel pretty safe, and this is pretty far away, but still, I'm impacted by those stories. When it happens in a market, for example, I remember the markets I used to walk around in Mexico, or when I lived in Nigeria, and I know what the market scenes were like, and who were there. It's often the poorer people. It's often the women, the younger people. The innocent, I'd say. And you feel so badly for them. Like, what did they do? Why were they victims? Why were they hurt? What the pain, the tragedy, so far away, and yet it's close in your heart when you think about it. Now, that isn't news, and there isn't too far I could go with that today, except that when they started telling the details of the story, this one was not at a market, and it was not at a hospital. It was not in a line of young men lining up to enlist in the army or the military, the soldiers, the policemen. It was at a dogfight. And as soon as I found out it was at a dogfight, I didn't feel so badly anymore. It was almost that feeling of, well, not quite that it serves them right, but I don't care. Dogfighting is awful. And my feelings about dogfighting became stronger than my feelings for the hurt and the wounded and the women who've lost their husbands, the mothers who've lost their children. I didn't care anymore. I was so angry. Why would people, what kind of people stage dogfights? What kind of people take delight in watching two dogs rip each other to shreds till there's one survivor and bet money on it? What kind of people are these? I don't care. I don't love these people. In fact, I almost hate these people. And that's what gave me pause. That's what made me stop to think, why? Why would I feel so differently? Well, they have different values than I do. I love animals. I love dogs. I feel I belong to the civilized world. And people who stage dogs, whether it's, we know, it's been recent news, it's happened in America, rich football players staging dog fights on their property, people betting. This is common. And they might think, well, what's the difference between that and your hockey playing where players beat each other up and collect these fat salaries? What's the difference? Who are you to say you're civilized and yet we who stage dogfights are not? And I think we all have to think about that. I mean, I think everybody works on those lines of, well, how close are we to the people? If it was, I mean, I'll hear a story in some part of the world. I don't want to get it wrong. Maybe in Indonesia, maybe somewhere it's happened. Christian missionaries set a fire in their car by an angry mob. People herded into a church, and the church torched, and people burned alive. And I'm thinking, oh, those poor Christian missionaries. Well, I feel the same. I don't care what church it was or what building it was when innocent people are killed. But we do have such a mix of feelings when it's close to us. I mean, look at the feelings we had. I'm saying we because I'm probably preaching to people who are like-minded, who are living in middle-class, rather comfortable circumstances. Who else listens to podcasts? Right? This isn't reaching the poor, and this isn't reaching the down and out and the hungry. This is reaching other people living a life as comfortable as my own. So it's you I'm talking to. And I'm just saying, check your own values. Check how you feel about these things. What's your, where your line is that you draw. When do you start feeling sorry for people? And when do you stop feeling sorry? When do you have compassion and when don't you? What is it? Think something very simple when you're driving along the street and somebody cuts you off or they're going too slow or they don't signal. That's the one that really gets me going. And you get angry. And if you happen to look over and catch a glimpse and they belong to a certain ethnic group or racial group, maybe you get even a little angrier. You get angry at that whole group. It happens to me. I'm sure it happens to others. That you just sort of, suddenly you start to generalize. It's us and them. Now, I'm not professing to be a Christian, and this is not a sermon where I'm talking one religion. If anything, I'd like to call myself a Buddhist, but I'm certainly not there yet. So I'm not trying to say what's right and what's wrong. I can't tell that. I think we can only, in each of us, try and search a little deeper, try and go a little beyond the surface to what our normal feelings are. I think we all owe that to everybody else, to examine our own feelings, to examine our values, to look a little closer, just go one layer deeper. What is it that makes you angry? Where is it that you separate yourself from others? Who do you include and who do you exclude? Is it French English? Is it Catholic Protestant? Is it Christian Muslim? Is it white, black? Where are these lines and why are these lines? And why do you draw them? And is it right to draw them? And I don't think it is, but we do. So I'm going to stop there for a minute. Think about that myself and come back to you after a short pause to say, well, what do we do? Isn't a sermon, aren't we supposed to resolve this somehow? That's what I usually do on my other show. I try to find a resolution. I try and find an answer. I try to share something, and so far I've just shared where I failed, and who knows, maybe it does end there. But hang on, and I will be back. Hello. Come back. Don't run away. It's me, Scarborough Dude, not Ken this time. Let me fade out the Foo Fighters. I've been playing it because it's the last CD that my son, Jerry, slapped into the CD player of this pulpit car. I have such a strong connection. I can't hear the Foo Fighters without thinking of my 18-year-old son now, but listen, folks, I'm going to let you in on something here. That, what you just heard, if I have the guts to play it, was an experiment. I was dead serious when I did it about starting a new podcast. And it bombed. It stunk. I don't like it. I didn't like that voice. I didn't like that guy. I didn't like that tone. I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like that atmosphere. I didn't like that vibe. And I disagreed with most of what he said, too. So I'm putting that out there kind of as another one of my very generous public services, you know, to show some of you how hard it is actually to find your own voice in podcasting and feel good about it and feel comfortable. I know there's a few people have gone out there successfully. I'd say Ross and Karen are one example that comes to mind of people who have tried something different. Come over the second podcast. I've tried, that was my second try. I tried one for mediating, did not like it, had no audience, no vision, didn't know what I wanted to do, and it died. This one, I thought, why don't I just cut down? I thought I was running out of things to say, and I just had this nagging feeling that people are going to be so sick of me. Why don't I just tighten it up and give one 20-minute one that maybe anybody can listen to? And realized afterwards, no, man, that's not how it works. It's taken me a long time to grow into the Scarborough Dude. I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable with me. I'm comfortable as a Scarborough Dude. I don't want to change. I don't have the energy to do it. There's really no need. I thought there was a need. And now I'm realizing afterwards, no, man, I miss the old dude. I'm comfortable with him. I don't want to be Ken. I don't want to be straight and narrow. I don't want to appeal to a wider audience. I don't want to censor myself. Fuck that. Okay? So, If what you heard before was the Sunday Sermon podcast, well, that was recorded on a Sunday when I thought I'd give it a try. And this is a follow-up to say, you're not going to get that again. I give up, retired, finished, drop that idea, you're back to the Scarborough Dude, the Dixon James podcast, and I'll just sort of slip that in there to show you how it works sometimes. Or doesn't, as the case may be. The thing about, in terms of the content, listen, I've completely changed my mind. When I did that podcast, the item had been dropped from the 3 o'clock news, just coincidentally, and then bam, it's back on at 4, 5, all the next day, starting like 20 killed, 40, 60, 80, 100 killed, and others injured. It was a horrific bombing, and since then there's been another one, an attack on another Canadian convoy, and they'll go on. By the time you hear this, there's been another attack. But I had said I just didn't feel stuff, and I think I was trying to prove a point that we make these divisions, and I might have exaggerated just a little bit. I am sorry. I did talk to my son about it. I did talk to Jerry about it, and I tried to explain exactly what I just told you in that one, how I felt differently when I found out it was a dogfight, because I think that's so awful. And he gave me some of this moral relativism, like, hey, that's their sport, and you can't apply our standards by theirs. And I'm afraid he's right. And we may go the other extreme in terms of our valuing of pets and animals above other humans. And this is what we may be hated for and what we may have our throats slit for one day. Or just not caring about our brothers and sisters. So I really am sorry. I retract that statement. I do feel bad for the people who were killed and especially for the living, the walking, limping, wounded, the survivors of that horrific bombing attack. And, hey, you grow up with dogfighting, and that's what it is, and maybe one day they'll get past that, but I have no right at all to pass judgment. I don't like it. I don't want to see it happen in Canada. Any acts of animal cruelty that I hear about just upsets me so much. And yet here on the TV, they're showing a video of all these cattle being, you know, horrible. I couldn't watch it. I kept changing the channel, and it kept coming up. The next news station, this treatment that people had gone into, smuggled cameras in and filmed how they get these cows off to slaughter, the ones who can't even walk. And it made you sick. And so we're no better. Hey, this is North America. That's where it's happening. So don't pass these judgments. Okay, so I want to make that clear. I'm only including that thing because I want to show you, hey, I make a lot of mistakes sometimes, you know, and that was a big one. During that podcast, you might have heard in the distance, if you had headphones on, you could hear the pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter of the rain on the roof. I am now in a driving, beautiful snowstorm. It is Tuesday night, 7:25, February 19th. I went off to the theater. My wife and I picked her up after work, and we went to TNT and did some shopping, got a nice, fast, cheap supper and all kinds of goodies, you know. And I realized, hey, this time, it's used to be $2 Tuesday is now $5 Tuesday, but it's still a cheap deal. So I thought I'd go see, what's that one about violence? You know, the guy discovers oil and Let There Be Violence, The Land of Violence, There Is Violence, Violence Without End. I can't remember. Violence in the title. But Daniel Day-Lewis. And I went to the AMC theater, this American chain, AMC 20, which I don't really like because they're more expensive. But I thought, well, if they've got their $5 deals, I'll go. No, $12.50. So I said, thank you very much. I'm not coming. I'm not going to play if you're going to charge that much. So I turned around, drove back, and decided, hey, since I'm out and since I've got my recording gear with me, why don't I add a clip onto it and straighten that whole thing out because it's kind of bothering me. I don't want anybody out there to think, yeah, the dude's changed. I mean, somebody might have stopped halfway through and said, hey, this isn't for me. I used to listen to Dixon James. I don't want to listen to this shit. What is this fucking Sunday Sermon stuff? So that's point one. Point one. Does it make you feel better if I give you a number? Here's another point. Let's call this point two. The man in Toronto whose chocolate Labrador retriever was kidnapped, dognapped. He was in Florida, a banker, rather mysterious. They won't say where he works, but guy's got a bit of money. He's in Florida, he's got a dog sitter, and the dog sitter goes into a little coffee shop, has a bite to eat, comes back out, uh-oh, doggy's gone. calls the master. The master flies home from Florida immediately and posts a $15,000 reward. Now, some of you have heard this story. Bear with me if you're Canadian. $15,000 to get Fido back. Okay. Bad signal here. He gets a call. He posts these awards everywhere. He gets a call. Is the reward still good? Yep. Clunk. Hangs up. Did your dog have a green collar? Yep. Clunk. Hang up. And later on, a call from a stranger. Oh, I was just walking on this corner and I saw this dog tied up and I took it home and then I called the police. Is the reward still mine? Yep. So $5,000 goes to an animal shelter, $10,000 goes to this guy, and the story is a little bit stinky, a little bit smelly, like, who are those two guys? And other people reported, yeah, I saw two kids. They looked like they were stoned and they were arguing, looking over, you know, with outside that coffee shop with the dog, and then the dog disappears. Police have some surveillance tape. Maybe by the time this podcast is over, I'll have the conclusion. I hope they make some arrests. But the bigger problem is, okay, number one, I'm upset because they're blowing up dogs. No, dogs are not blowing each other up. Dogs are biting each other to death because people are making them and training them to do that. And it's a matter of survival. Not very nice. Here in North America, in Toronto, an investment banker is going to spend $15,000 because Fido is a member of the family. His chocolate Labrador Retriever is, or chocolate lab is, and it was a beautiful dog. And I understand how the guy feels. Hey, he's got $15,000 to spend. How much does he give to charity, I wonder? What does he really care about other people? Who am I to judge? Okay, it's just that it's an odd story. Same week. But the scary part is, every fucking lowlife in Toronto is going to think, holy shit, man. $15,000 for a fucking dog? Let's go. And there's a lot of other dog owners, and I'm sure cat owners too, who are going to be out there worried now that somebody's going to kidnap their dog. And they'll up the scale. They'll say, listen, if you don't come up with the money right now, I'm cutting Rover's paw off. I'm blinding him. People are going to do that. Ah, what a world. So, welcome back, dude. I missed you. Yeah. Okay, that's it. I just wanted to tidy that up. I wanted to put the two pieces together. Next week is, this coming Friday. It's Tuesday now. Friday night, I should be having a beer, hopefully, with somebody at PodCamp. I don't know. I don't have any anything lined up. Well, yeah, Saturday night's kind of lined up. Eh, yeah, Friday night is, too. I want to see, my good friend Sylvain from Montreal. And what's that guy out in Calgary? No, not him. The other one. The funny one. he's coming too, and looking forward to that. So that I already emailed Exchange, and maybe a Saturday night talk to him too. You know the guy, AJ, All Access Radio. Great show, bright guy, lots of fun. So that's it. That's what we get. Instead of going to the 12:50 movie, you get a 2-bit commentary from the Scarborough dude. Back in the swing of things, back in the saddle, folks, back in the saddle. Yes, sir, I'm riding on until I can't fucking talk no more. I'm riding on this podcast until I ain't got no fucking teeth left and I can't even keep my breath long enough to get out a full fucking sentence. Yeah, stick with me, boys, there's lots more coming. Okay, thank you, and goodbye. Talk to you later.
In your houses late at night, sit down, cozy, kill a light. Watch a movie, watch a fight, feeling safe as well you might. When you're dreaming black and white, in the bathroom, in your bed. We'll be right back.
life there in between. In your houses late at night, sit down, cozy, kill a light. Watch a movie, watch a fight, feeling safe as well you might. When you dream in black and white, in the bathroom, in your bed, wall to wall, in your head, finger on remote control, DIY to yourself. We got idols, we got dreams, keep your eyes fixed on the screen, squeeze your life there.
Fire away, Billy boy, fire away. There's something not quite right about this setting, this clip, this time to be talking to you, but I have to do it. It's 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, the Friday of PodCamp Toronto, so very soon I'm going to be heading out onto the street and either taking a streetcar or a quicker route, busing up to the subway and taking that to meet up with my good friend John at the Imperial Pub Library. And later on, Sylvain Laurent from Montreal. Sylvain was kind enough to phone me and say they're just in Belleville and on their way a little bit late. And I want to pace myself so that I don't get too much of a head start on my beer drinking. So I'm kind of slowing down now, and I thought, okay, why not just talk to your friends and patch up this particular podcast they're listening to now. See, there's real time, there's listening time. There's real time now, me talking, and then I take this clip and patch it into this podcast, and then there's you sitting listening and saying, come on, dude, make it worth my while. So I'll try. I'm not going to drag the microphone around at PodCamp. I don't do those things. I don't mind it if other people do. I may or may not say anything, you know. But to me, that's not the time to be running up, sticking the mic in people's faces and doing it. No problem, other folks doing it. I'm just saying, it ain't for me. I'd rather just sort of soak in the atmosphere and, you know, interact with people and in real time. Anyway, I had another clip from my good friend Tom, our good friend Tom, of Shane and Tom. And I think you folks got to be writing in. I'm not going to play the whole clip. I've had a couple of them. They're quite long. 3 a.m. So I'm suggesting that Tom start his own podcast. And Tom, I'm going to suggest a title to you. The Wee Hours with Tom. The Wee Hours. Because I think his bar is closing up and he's sitting there shooting darts and just talking his views about racism in Canada and so on. I guess I'll visit that. You know, we talked about the guy who wants to wear his helmet instead of, I mean, doesn't want to wear the helmet because he's wearing a turban, and Tom had suggested maybe a giant turban. Well, that sounds more like a skit from Shane and Tom, like a giant helmet to either put the turban on top of or put on top of the turban, and yeah, hard to picture that. But I think what Tom is getting at is underlying this. It's not such a big issue about, obeying the laws. There is an underlying sense from the people who are here now of just, these people are different and they're coming in and they're changing everything. And I think a lot of people just feel that, you know, and feel some resentment to that. We feel that about the Muslims. We feel it about, you know, in this case, it's a Sikh. We feel it about other religious groups, people who look different. You know, the Jamaicans have come in and changed the vibe of Toronto, you know. And it's easy, and you've got to forgive people for that. The thing is, you can't, if you're in a position of authority, a teacher, a judge, a policeman, you cannot let your prejudices and biases come into play, period. If you're a good neighbor, you shouldn't. And all of us should be a little more tolerant and open-minded about things, but I also think it's pretty natural to have your preferences and biases. You know, I was in Nigeria, everybody liked the Igbos. The Yoruba were a harder time to get away with and get along with. And the Hausa were just different, more remote. And people, well, you can't make generalizations like that. Well, yes, you can overall. These are cultural differences. The Yoruba were fun, loud, big, fat, pushy, argumentative. They always love wahala, big fights, confrontations. I had a blast. I got along really well with the Yoruba because I can dish it right back. You know, and so you'll have your... Everybody has their preferences for paintings, art, music. So don't tell me, you know, you can't have your feelings about other religions, other appearances, whatever, you know. Just careful how you use them, you know. Nobody gets hurt by you liking or not liking Gauguin, but they sure do when you're talking about people and you're treating people in some manner. So I'm not going to go much further there right now. I know there's a lot more to be said when I'm in a more serious mood, like, you know, the black school issue and so on. I do know there's a crazy case in our guards here at the Don Jail where several black guards have been sent home with full pay until they unravel who's behind this racism. They're getting threatening notes and death threats, apparently, and been given a hard time, and nobody's solving the problem. That seems ridiculous that they can't track down who is posting these notes on their lockers and so on. Come on, it's in an institution, you know, somebody's covering up here, folks. And it seems a ridiculous way. It's gone on for years, and they're complaining, and there's something rotten there. And anyway, that's a local story again. The business, just to tie things up, the business about the dog. Remember the guy who was dog-napped, or the chocolate lab that was taken? And then there was an arrest made after all. They arrested the man who collected the reward and another man, and now have their police looking for two others who they think are involved, probably the two who were petting the dog outside the store. Another ridiculous story. The guy got all his money back, the $15,000 he posted. But $5,000 of that was going to go to an animal shelter. And I hope like hell this guy is embarrassed, shamed into donating $5,000. If he was going to give up that money that easily, he damn well better give $5,000 to the animal shelter where it was going to go. I guess the other issue that's raised there, people say, well, wait a minute, you know, everybody loses their cat. Now, how come this guy got police involved and got all this front page media and all the news coverage because he posted $15,000 reward? Somebody loses their cat that they dearly love just as much. They can only put up a $50 reward for Fido. Nobody's going to care. You know, that really stinks. Really, really does stink. So there's something smelly about this guy. There's something smelly about this whole system where the rich do have it easier and have privileges the rest of us don't. I don't know. I don't call for heads to roll and a complete bloody revolution and overthrow, but change, we need change. That's what Obama's promising us. Next topic, just going to wrap that one up. I'm so glad he's taking the lead and he's hanging in there, and it's a horse race, but I sure hope he's got it. I hope he is the next president of the United States. Okay, now, I listened to mostly tunes today for the first time. Bob Goyetch's podcast, you know, he's had it for years, one of the longest running ones, and it was great. Loved it. Nice choice of tunes, Bob. Really, really enjoyed it. So I'm a regular listener now, a little bit late in the game, but I am a joiner. I got it. Oh, what I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about my son again. There's been a bit of a theme in my son's. I went last night with him to Glendon College, Glendon Campus in the York University. And he's been accepted there for an international studies program. I'm pretty excited. And I felt really good and really proud of him and really excited about it. I think it's just right. Very small campus right in the heart of Toronto. 2,500 students, something unusual. I never even heard of the damn thing. He found it. He chose it. But sadly, we got into a fight on the way home over, you know, finances again. And he wants to stay in residence. I'm thinking, geez, we live in Toronto. That's crazy. We can't afford it. And he's pissed. He really wants this, you know, first year out. And I kind of want, I'm a softie. I want to give it to him. Yeah, it's sure to be more fun than living at home. And, you know, yeah, of course I do that. But man, you know, you just can't, where's the money coming from for that? You know, you don't have a job yet. You're 18. You haven't bought any money. So we got into it, and it's really sad. But he felt bad about it afterwards, and I did. And we sort of apologized, as we always do. I mentioned that because on my Facebook account and on the dixonjanes@blogspot.com, I posted a video. This is One, I really, just a short clip, just a minute and a half. So if you haven't seen it, take a look. When my two boys first came back to Canada, and they were about 3 and 5. And as Catherine wrote, they're adorable. They really are in that clip. It was a very, very funny clip. Elder son wanting an apology from the younger son. Both speaking Japanese, which I thought was very cool. Because I'd forgotten that was their first language. And so that was when, in our backyard when we first came to Toronto in 1994. And it just brought back so many memories. And what had happened was you know how I have a problem focusing on work, and one thing leads to another, to another, to another. Next thing I've just gone off, you know, so many degrees off to the left or right or out in space and nowhere near the work I was supposed to be doing. But anyway, I dug out this box of old tapes, Hi-8 tapes, not the digital ones, from my old camera, which I had. And I'm so glad I've got these collection of tapes. But, you know, they're kind of useless now. It's an old Hi-8 tape. But I was smart enough to buy a new digital camera a few years ago, video camera, that takes the old Sony Hi-8 tapes and digitizes them. So I'm able to take these old tapes, plop them into the camera, and upload them right onto my Mac. What a lifesaver that is. So I've got tons of those things I got to go through and edit and make little clips, you know. Definitely have to do that. Anyway, there's one out there, and it was the first time my son put it on, and he just was enthralled, and he got my wife to sit down. It's not often she'll sit down and watch in front of the computer and watch this. And she watched, I mean, like not that little clip, but a whole tape connected from the camcorder running into the computer. Of just amazing, you know, when my son was just born, and wow. And we look back at when they were little children, and it was a happy time. And then next thing you know, the very same day, he's heading off to make his plans for university, and bam, the time is gone. Wow, what happened? Sorry, I didn't tell you anything there. I didn't tell you anything. And I might not even use this clip. There's no passion. There's no emotion here. There's no feeling. Just me sitting in a chair talking. I think what I'm going to do is go out, have a toke, hop on a streetcar, and take a long, slow ride into Toronto. I love that streetcar road. I guess the last thing is the fire, of course, which you've all heard about. That horrible, horrible fire along Queen Street. It destroyed century-old buildings and just blocks of shops that were part of what makes Queen Street such a special street. Suspect Video, a bike shop, an electronics shop, you know, old-style electronics. And very, very sad. Piece of history gone. And Big Box is moving in, and that's just such a killer. So sad day for all Torontonians. A big, huge six-alarm fire blaze. And part of our culture, part of our history, part of it gone. I know there's more to say, much, much more to say. CBC was doing it about new Canadians and multiculturalism. And you know, I think a point they raised today, which I heard, gets back to Tom's point, was, wait a minute, you guys tell us to leave our problems at home. And we say that, and I'm guilty of saying that. You know, come over here, but forget the fact that you're fighting with this group or that group. Just leave those troubles behind. And it was immigrants on the show, new Canadians, saying, hey, that's ridiculous. That's who we are. You can't tell us to do that. So I think the message gets kind of muddied there. The message is you're not allowed to kill people in the streets of Canada because of religious or tribal differences or whatever. But their message is, no, these politics are who we are, and we're going to, you know, have a say in how we affect the government and so on. So, I don't know. I got a haircut today, and the haircut was with Boris the Barber. Boris is from Macedonia, and he's an old time, one of these old guys, and I really wish I had the recorder running the whole conversation we had, because it got into this issue about, yeah, the Serbs and you know, these damn Kosovos and the Muslims, they have 10 children, so then they outnumber us, and then they take over the land, and then America comes in, and they don't know anything about the Balkans, and they give the land back to them because there's more numbers, and they give it to them, and they've taken it from the Serbs. And of course, he was very upset about the Americans, not happy with this expansion of territory through Kosovo, the new country. Very complicated, far beyond my understanding at this point. I just want to do the simple thing, get our troops into Haiti and help them. Much, much simpler problem. So that's it, folks. That's what you're going to get for this clip. From now on, it's into PodCamp. I was going to I was going to avoid it altogether on this podcast. Like, those of you who are there, and I know what you're getting, and those of you who aren't there probably don't care. So why talk about it? So we'll see. Talk to you in a bit. We still got a little time on this one. This is not the Sunday Sermon Podcast. Remember now, you're back to Dixon Jeans. That's what this is. Bye-bye. It breaks very often. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I promised I would not do this. I am actually in the middle of podcast. This might even be the halfway mark. I started 6 o'clock Friday. It is now 8 o'clock Saturday. I'm sitting in a hotel room. This is unofficially, I guess, the PodCamp official stuff is over. And I'm sitting in a room with a number of reprobates, drinkers, men, young men, drink too much alcohol. But that's where I happen to find myself. Up until this point, up until I started talking into this microphone, we were having a very nice conversation. And now suddenly the room has gone very quiet. But it's been a great session. I've enjoyed it even more than I thought I would. I really thought, you know, what the fuck? Just get together, get a few beer in the evening, it'll be fun. But I actually enjoyed the sessions, and most of all, I've enjoyed the person-to-person interaction, because that is what it's all about. No matter how much you fucking Twitter and shitter and do everything else, talking to people face-to-face and just, you know, spontaneously interacting. They say something, you say something. They say something, you say something, you know? Smiling, hugging, whatever. That's what it's all about, man. That's the thing that's important. So right now I find myself stupidly once again drinking alcohol and going to continue to drink alcohol until I don't know what time. And unfortunately that's just one of the addictions, one of the problems I have. But, you know, I've learned to handle it. I've learned to deal with it. Maybe a little weed in the middle somewhere there just to mellow me out a little more and engage just a little bit deeper into the conversations. But we've had a fine conversation, a fine time, and I just thought I wanted to share that with my listeners here, that you who are listening to this podcast, wherever you happen to be at any time, I am dead smack in the middle of PodCamp Toronto and having a very, very nice time. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Boys and girls, It's me again. Boy, oh boy, is this ever another one of those mixed up bags of a podcast, you know, just bits and pieces everywhere. Listen, the first thing I have to say, you've heard some music sort of between my talking parts. That music was taped from Montreal Radio, probably Shom FM, in the fall of 1982. I had just come back from Nigeria via Europe, and a buddy of mine, a fellow Kuso volunteer from Nigeria, and I found these Indian takeout shops. Takeout meaning not like duty-free stereo stuff that we knew we'd been out of Canada for a couple of years, we could bring this back. It seemed a big deal at the time to save the tax in Britain and the duty-free and everything else. And we got these really nice, both of them identical, JVC combo units. You know, it's one of these silver boxes, detachable speakers, it can spread out, but all in one really neat packet. Man, I love that. Dual tape deck. You know, there's no CDs or anything in those days. State of the art for the time. Really, really looked cool and had nice sound. I was just thrilled to pick that up for about $300 or something at the time. Bring it back to Canada and then just stick in some blank tapes. Tune in on the FM tuner to Shom FM and just tape some of the stuff. So the songs you heard just previous to this were just random recordings I found on some old audio cassettes I had lying around and managed to digitize them and put them up. So the sound quality is shitty, but for me, the nostalgia factor of, hey, that was what I was listening to. And I was so happy to be back in Canada listening to music that I'd missed out on 2 years. Of course, I had Nigerian music all that time, but it was just kind of cool. So I'm glad to share those with you. And mostly I'm doing it in honor of my Montreal friends. You know, Bob and Kat and Sylvain Laurent and Julian, of course, from Montreal. All of whom I spent a lot of time with this weekend at PodCamp Toronto. A great time. And so this is kind of a wrap up. And I'm sitting in my office. I left out here. I feel a little bad. I feel withdrawal. Like, I feel, damn it. Why did I leave early? You know, at the time I was feeling pretty shitty. I never made it home last night. I ended up sleeping on a... Kind enough, Sylvain Laurent let me crash at their place. The Scarborough Dude and the Scarborough Dude alone, let me tell you. So I sort of was in and out of, you know, sessions all day today and didn't really have much to contribute to the part that I was maybe supposedly contributing a little more to, Z2P sessions Bob and Mark had done an admirable job of running with everybody else's help of Rob and Catherine and Sage. So anyway, a good session again. It's meaningless to those who weren't there, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, other than to say that I guess because it's kind of a volunteer, and so you gotta thank people like Jay Moon and all these people who put in extra time and did a lot to keep it humming. I think from the community itself, there could have been a few more sessions offered. I was complimenting my good friend, who you mentioned often here, John Meadows, for doing one on breathing exercise and something different that people wouldn't normally have a chance to hear or do. And I think more of us, myself included, probably should have stepped up to the plate and say, I'll do a session if somebody's interested. They don't care if it's a big crowd, small crowd. And I didn't realize that until I came home and was sort of not complaining, but saying, you know, I think it might have been better had there been a few more sessions. And then realize, wait a minute. What did I do? You know, very, very little. And so I think a few more people could step up, in future years if they go. My hope, my dream is that someday there'll be a PodCamp Montréal. I just kept planting that seed wherever I could with my Montreal friends, and I think that would be a bash. And the thing about PodCamp, I mean, let's be honest, it's the parties after, it's the nighttime, and it's the connecting with people, and God damn, we had a good time in the Imperial Pub both Friday night and Saturday night. Till basically closing time, you know, pitcher after pitcher of beer, people just sharing and wandering table to table and chatting and just a lot of fun, good conversations. And it was a perfect place for us. It's just loose enough and unstructured enough that you're comfortable enough, laid back enough, and not, you know, some uptight, prissy Toronto type place. It was a good vibe to it, and it suited us perfectly. So really, that went really, really well, and people did their own thing. A lot of good conversations, I could go on, but I guess it's kind of pointless. What do I want to say? Well, what are these little flashbacks, these moments I wanted to say? One of my nicest times was today, just sort of wandering the halls, and you see somebody you know, and you just walk up and you talk because they're friends. And basically, it's sort of like, I almost, it's feeling like it's like belonging to a church or something. I know a lot of people, everybody out there is an atheist. And says, no, it's not. No, it's not. But I just mean in the sense of, oh, there's some good people. I think I'll chat with them for a while. Oh, one of my nicest times was just this morning seeing Kat and Catherine and Andrea. You know, just sitting by themselves and having a chat. And I joined them. And just, there was this feeling of comfort. The comfort that comes with friendship, you know what I mean? Of just, nobody's threatened, nobody's hurting anybody, nobody's, you know, well, how much money do you make? What do? You know, it's just, hey, you know, we can all tease back and forth, we're all, you know, having fun and doing it, but the kind of thing you can do when you know people well enough to know. And so this thing about friendship, that it's all about comfort zones, it's about all about setting up, creating some sort of a safety net, you know, around ourselves, around each other. And it felt really good. And each time you meet these people, you get a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. It gets a little deeper, a little stronger, a little safer. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I feel sorry for people who don't get that, who don't know how to make friendships, who don't know how to make the investment. People, you know, talk about that. You invest a little and you get it back. Chris Brogan used that analogy. You know, you do get more back from what you put in, but just make that effort of putting something in, man. You know, talk to somebody, smile. Great to see Chris Brogan again, as always. I know this sounds like you throw around the big names and stuff, but I go to his sessions all the time. I don't, forgive me if I've already said that, but just because he just presents so well. He's just a nice guy, and he's got a sense of humor, and he can wing it, you know. He can talk off the cuff when he has to, or he can be professional and just go right down, you know, A to Z if he has to, but he just has such a nice, you know, a big teddy bear manner about him, and he's a guy you like. And but you can also get real stuff, and you get some good conversation with the guy too, which we did last night. And Julian, of course, from Montreal, you know, fascinating, fascinating guy. And everybody I spoke to. So to me, that's what PodCamp is about. PodCamp is about hanging out with some new friends who you know through podcasting. Whole new network of friends. So forgive me if that's boring, you know, especially for those of you who weren't there and you're thinking, yeah, well, what else you got to say? I haven't been home yet. It's 5 o'clock. No, it's not. It's 3:30. Sunday afternoon, as I say, I slept on the sofa. And then when John Meadows was heading home, I thought, oh, I better head off. Unfortunately, I mean, I missed, I know Brent and AJ from All Access Radio were on the way back in, you know. They showed up yesterday at 3, and here they are going to show up today, probably around 3 o'clock. You know, it's a late for the conference, considering they're over by 5, but that's the way these folks carry on. Now, AJ, there is one interesting character. Say no more, say no more. Good talking to him. We set it up, we planned it, and we spent a lot of time chatting. Okay, so anyway, look, that wraps it up. Geez, you know, damn, I wish I had a car and I could just zip over there now and say goodbye to everybody again, but what's the point? So until the next time, until seeing a lot of these people, certainly it'll be at PAB in Kingston in June. How far away is that? We're still in February. Yeah, quite a while. Probably John Meadows, maybe he'll try and organize a little Toronto gathering at the Imperial Pub again sometime, and by then I will have recovered enough from the effects of overdrinking to want to come back. I'm sort of saturated right now, but that's where it goes. I forgot Dave Delaney, another fine guy, and a lot of fun with Dave last night. Say no more, say no more. No stories. Your stories are safe with me, Dave. Don't worry about it. I did tease him a lot, accused him of being an American and having an American haircut, and just good-natured joshing the way guys can do sometimes, you know? And that's fun, too. So, yeah. A good, good time. God. Next topic, please.
I don't like the that really scary gradual slide into, hey, you know, assimilate or nothing. It gets right back to the black school thing, and no, it's not right to have black schools. I really don't think it is, but in the light of how broken the school system is, it's the right thing to do. And right now, there's so much wrong with where our money goes. Like you said, the billions and billions of dollars that go to these wars and shit while we're complaining we don't have money and we need to, you know, collect money for Red Cross. There's so much misappropriation of funds, and no one gives a shit. No one's paying attention to what's going on and what bills are being passed. Maybe you are, dude, but I'm not. And I'm an informed citizen. I should be. No one gives a shit. No one cares that this money is getting spent all over our heads and we're not aware of it. And that's a big problem. You know, if money was being spent in a different way, if the government didn't make money off of cigarettes and liquor the way that they do, then they would also be considered huge drains on our economy, more so than saving the lives or keeping people alive on a machine because they hit their head because they didn't want to wear a helmet on their motorcycle. How many fucking people want to drive motorcycles without helmets because of religious headgear? It was like that RCMP. It's like the fucking guy can do his job just fine. The guy can do his job. So his hat's different. He's wearing a fucking suit from shoulders to feet that looks like an RCMP. Do you think he's not because he's got a fucking, because he's wearing a turban or a head wrap? No. But it's that assimilative, you know, we really just want to put that on anybody. It's like, hey, learn the language or get out. You know, a lot of people can live in this country and not even learn the language, either of the two official languages, and they can get along just fine with support from the community and family. And I don't know, call me naive, which you might be doing in your head, but I just have a softer spot for that kind of thing because we're talking about a religious right. That's something pretty important in this country, even though I think it's bunk in terms of people's religious zealotry and really the craziness that goes on around religion. But it's in our, you know, isn't it in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms? More so than a fucking bylaw or a law that says don't bang your head because, you know, Canada doesn't want to pay the bill. I don't want to fucking pay the bill for smokers. You know? I don't want to fucking pay the bill for people who drive motorcycles at all. There's a lot of people that do a lot of stupid shit that we pay for. And whether they're fucking black or white or Arab or Chinese, it doesn't matter. We let them do this shit, you know? We let people do lots of stupid things. Why? Because it's their freedom to do so. Let the fucking guy ride his motorcycle without a helmet. Make sure he signs off that it isn't going to cost us anything either. But for crying out loud, if you want to, you know, attribute that to the situation, you could do it to 100 others. And I'm sorry this isn't a well thought out, you know, argument or opinion. I'm sitting here throwing darts, listening to the rest of your show at 3 a.m. And I don't know, I just felt like, you know, I am going to give him my opinion, whether it's broken or not. So I'm sure you can think of better examples of the healthcare system paying you and me, you, Ken, me, Tom, paying tax money to people who have done something so stupid that they've done it anyway.